Welcome. Our Proverbs chapter 9, like I said, this continues, the chapter continues about wisdom. And have y'all forgotten? Somebody tell me, what is the foundation of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. That's it. If there's no fear of God, there's no wisdom. A man doesn't fear God, not too smart. Okay? And this continues that, and it also deals with one of the three subjects we talked about at the beginning of the chapter. There was three classes of people in the beginning, in chapter 1, I believe, verse 22. Who were they? Huh? The fool, the simple, and the scorner. Okay? Those are the three classes of people in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to deal with one of those again this morning. Of course, all the way through, it deals with the wise man and the scorner and the fool. And we'll be discussing some of that in this chapter this morning. Let's begin Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewed down her seven pillars. Okay? So, wisdom has built her house. And in the Bible, how do you build a house of wisdom? I believe according to Jesus, the house is built on a rock, isn't it? And who is the rock? 1 Corinthians 10:4, Jesus Christ is the rock. Okay? And this house has a sure foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, other foundation no man lay, that which you lay, which is Christ Jesus. It has a sure foundation. And the sands of religion and science and philosophy can't shake this house. Now notice this house is built on seven pillars. Okay? Now, I didn't discuss the seven pillars of wisdom. I'm sure they're in the book of Proverbs. I didn't look them up. But the Bible talks about the seven manifestations of the Spirit in the book of Isaiah. Okay? And what does the number seven mean? Anybody know? It means complete, doesn't it? Okay? Now, eight, what does eight mean? Eight is perfection. Don't get the two confused. A lot of you get those two confused. Seven means complete. And eight is perfection. This Bible is a seven-seal book. And so is in Revelation. It's a seven-seal book, the seven seals. We'll be studying about that a little bit here Thursday night pretty soon. And seven is complete. So you have a complete Bible because it has seven seals. And the Holy Spirit has seven manifestations in the book of Isaiah. And so this, what we're talking about here, wisdom had built her house, she hewed down her seven pillars. Now the pillars support the house, they're not the house. Now they don't build houses like that, but they used to. When they built houses, they built pillars. They'd make brick pillars. I remember my grandmother had an old house, it was set on pillars, and it was old. We used to go in there and scrape the cement out between the bricks, almost made a couple of them fall. Just to play with, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. If we'd have got caught, we'd have probably needed some pillars. But anyway, it's built on seven pillars. They don't build houses that way anymore. They just set them on the ground. But this house is complete on seven pillars. All right, verse 2. Notice the she. And antecedent to she, there's wisdom, okay? She has sent forth her maidens. Verse 2, she hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. Okay? Now, under the Old Testament, we're studying here under the law, and wisdom sacrificed to God. Okay? Now, let me show you the parable of that. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 22. We've dealt with this before. And let me show you something over here. Matthew chapter 22, it's on page 1029, and let's read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. I notice there's two things involved in that. There's marriage, that there's food and love. And that's what everybody wants. And so sometimes God will deal with the carnal desire to bring people to him, see? And nothing wrong with that. And it's talking about here, she has killed her beast. She's preparing a feast. She's getting ready to prepare a feast and invite somebody to come. And of course, God invites anybody to come to his feast of wisdom, see? So in the context here, wisdom has prepared a feast, okay? Now, you know, we, like I say, you know, we run a small crowd here, but if we was to put up a sign out there probably all week and say, this Sunday we're going to have free chicken dinner and a live band and plenty of entertainment, well, we'd probably be packed out. But we're not going to do that. But that'll get them, you know. I mean, that'll get them. You know, the Southern Baptists, every fifth Sunday, they have dinner on the ground. That's their biggest Sunday, biggest attendance. They come to eat. You know, you get up there and preach the Word of God, you scatter them like possums in a beady pen, but they'll come for that, see. That'll draw them. But wisdom ought to draw people the same way. See, the context is using something tangible to reveal a spiritual truth. You see, saved people ought to desire the feast of God's wisdom. They ought to want to come to it. They ought to be there. But, you know, like I told you here tonight, and like I told them people up there, it's a shame when you got to persuade and beg and almost force people to do what they ought to enjoy doing. Okay? But it don't work that way. All right, verse 3 says, she has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Now, in Matthew, he didn't say maiden, he said he sent his servants. This king sent his servants out to bid everybody to come to the wedding, to the feast of the wedding. Plenty of food and love, and so hardly nobody shows up. And it's about the way today. You put out, you invite people to come to the feast of God's wisdom, and hardly nobody shows up. And one day, I believe it's Psalms 23, the Bible said, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And one day, God, all those that are saved, that have God's wisdom, will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with the, well, you say with the king. He's not the king of the church, but he is the king of the nations, okay? And one day, that's the big feast we're all looking forward to, amen? And that's one you won't miss. If you're saved, you'll be there. If you're not saved, you won't be, you know? If you turn down the invitation now, you can't come then, amen? They send out a lot of times invitations and cards, and to get in, you got to have that invitation. If you throw it away, you can't get in. And so if you reject it now, you won't get in there. All right, verse 4. Now, look, Lord, watch this. Whoso is simple, let him turn and hither. Notice it's for anybody. The simple. Anybody can come. There's no certain class, no certain race, no certain pedigree. This feast is set for anybody to come. And God don't have to say, well, you can't come because you are not in this society, or you're a different class, or you're a different race. Anybody can come. And they turn down. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. Okay? Now, we talked about, like I said, we mentioned these in this chapter, beginning of this chapter, we started the book of Proverbs, that three classes of people, the simple, the scorner, and the fool. See? And notice that him that wanteth understanding. Understanding is only found in the wisdom of God's Word. Now, you can study a lot of things, learn a lot of things, but you'll never have any understanding outside of the wisdom of God's Word. Now, what is understanding? What is the Bible definition of understanding? We're going to cover that word quite a few times here in the rest of this chapter, so let's get it clear right now, know what we're talking about. What is the Bible definition of understanding? Somebody want to tell me? Have you forgot? Say it loud. Say it. Depart from evil. That's it. Job 28:28. Understanding is to depart from evil. And you get that from fearing God and accepting God's wisdom. Anybody that fools around with sin, not very smart. See? People that mess around with sin, get involved with sin, are not wise people. Now, like I say, no offense meant, but people that fool around with sin are stupid people. That's the contrast to wise. See? And you're one or the other. There's no middle ground. You know, you're either one or the other. And so this here, a smart man that has the wisdom of God won't fool around with sin. That's very simple. And so the Bible says here, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him. She said to him. All right, now what's the antecedent to she there? Well, we're talking about wisdom. Okay, verse 1 and verse 2. Come eat of my bread. Okay, now what is the bread there? That's the word of God. Well, no doubt about that. We know that from John chapter 12. Come eat of my bread and drink. What is drink a picture of? The Spirit of God, isn't it? Okay? And drink of the wine which I have mingled. See? And notice the word there. Now, we're talking about here the bread and wine of wisdom. We're not talking about the worm-eating manna, the Catholic Mass, or the worm-eating or the maggot-eating documents of religion. We're talking about the wisdom of the Word of God. See? Now, notice the word in verse 5, come. Huh? That's the word you find in the book of Genesis, didn't it? First time you find out, when Noah had the ark ready, God said, come. That's an invitation. There's no forcing. Nobody's forced. Nobody's demanded. You can come willfully, or you can willfully stay away. It's your choice. And that's the way God never forces nobody to accept nothing he has. You can willfully come, or you can willfully reject it. See? And people that die and go to hell are people that just willfully rejected what God offers. And people that go to heaven are people that willfully accepted God's salvation. And it's very simple. Nobody's forced. Nobody can't make you come. That's good in one way. It's bad another way. Wouldn't it be something if this morning we could go out and put a rope around people's neck and say, you'll come to church and get saved this morning. Wouldn't it be nice? But we can't do that. It wouldn't work. See? I wish it would, you know, but it won't. I mean, if that would work, we'd hire about 4 or 5 big bouncers to go out and round them up and bring them in. You know, they have what they call Roundup Sunday. You know, everybody come to church and get to have a good time and ride horses and play games and all that, you know. Well, all they done, they just want to put a big number on the board for a crowd. But God's not interested in the big crowds. He's interested in people that want his invitation to come. And that's all he asks you to do. All God asks you to do is just come. So he don't ask you to bring nothing. He don't ask you to pay nothing. Just ask you to come. Right? And so people turn it down. So he says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Okay? But in contrast to that, look at verse 6. See? Forsake the foolish. See? Now the foolish are the fruit of a fool. And the foolish are those without God. Okay? Forsake the foolish and live. Okay, that's in contrast. Notice it's still a choice. It's still nothing demanding, it's still nothing pushing, it's still a choice. You can come and live, or you can forsake the foolish. You can go the way you want to. See? Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the ways of understanding. Okay? Now, we already mentioned understanding. It means to depart from evil. Okay? But if you're going to follow the foolish, you're not going to go in the way of understanding, because the foolish don't know the way of understanding. See? Really, you know, anybody that fools around sin is a fool. You know? People say, well, you shouldn't call people a fool. I never have. I just tell you what the Bible says. I've never called nobody nothing. But the Bible says it, so I'll tell you what the Bible says. We had sent out some tapes here some years back. Some lady wrote me a letter. She said, I've been in church 32 years. You're the only preacher I've ever heard call anybody a fool. I said, well, maybe you never find out what you really are. A lot of fools in the Bible. A lot of fools go to church every Sunday. I mean, according to the Bible, you know. All right, now look at here. forsake the foolish. See? Listen, people, let me tell you something. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saved. Let me give you something that you need to learn. No unsaved person can help you in your Christian life. Do you know that? You know, if you're, I don't care who they are, how good they are, how you're related to them, how you associate with them, no unsaved person can benefit you in your spiritual life. I mean, and how you deal with them, unsaved people, depends on whether you're a wise person or a foolish person. See? Now, that's a real, forsake just means leave them alone. Forsake the foolish. See? And live. Well, if you're saved and people are unsaved, you sure don't go together. They sure can't do anything. Now, you can do something for them if they'll have enough wisdom to listen to you. But they won't listen to you no matter whether they listen to you or not. They can't benefit you in no way at all in your spiritual life, in your relationship to God. See? What you want is you want to be come to God's imitation of wisdom and increase what you've already got in the Lord. Now, we're going to deal with that in just a few minutes. So let me get back here. I don't want to get ahead of myself here this morning. All right, verse 7. Now, this verse deals with the scorner. Okay? And, By the way, let me give you a definition of a scorner. Let me see if I can remember that first. A scorner means an open contempt due to one's opinion against an object or a person. In other words, a scorner has an open contempt, okay, of his opinion against a person or an object. Did you ever try to deal with somebody and they tell you, well, no, I don't believe that. I don't see it that way. Most times they got a lot of mouth, they talk loud, and they won't listen to nothing you say. No matter what you say, they won't listen. I mean, I've met a lot of them. I've met them in churches. They ain't all out here in the world. A lot of them go to church, a scorner. But the Bible says in verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner. Now, what does reprove means? That means you go against him in a correction. Now, reprove is not like rebuke. Rebuke is a hard going head on. Reprove is like correcting somebody. Okay. And correction is instruction, and we already studied the Bible said that instructions are a way of life. When you come to a place you can't be reproved and can't be instructed, then you're finished. As far as you can go. You just tore it up right there. And a lot of people like that day. You don't never come to a place in life where you can't receive some right instructions. Well, you can't be reproved, but you can't be corrected if you're wrong. When you come to that place, like I said, you tore it up right there. All right, he that reproveth a scorner gathereth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh, notice that one reprove and one rebuke, rebuketh a wicked man, getteth himself a blot. All right, so verse 7 says that you are, now let me just, I'd probably give you this verse better in an example than I could the actual meaning of it. Did you ever try to deal with somebody and they want to argue? They want to start arguing about the Bible, you know. I mean, I've had them, you know, tell me, you know, well, you know, preacher, you can't believe that old Bible is the Word of God. I mean, this other is just as good. I mean, these scholars who wrote this Bible are just as smart as those that translated the King James Bible. And what they're trying to do is get you in an argument, see, because when you get an argument, they've got you into their way of life. See? And so the best thing to do is just reprove them, and if they won't listen, just go on. But he that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. See? A wicked man don't live right. Okay? He has no morals, no standards, and you rebuke him, you'll find out how wicked he is. Okay? He'll put a blot in your life. You know, did you ever try to deal with somebody that don't live right, and you know what the first thing they'll do? They'll find something wrong with you. They'll come back to you. Well, they ain't no worse than what you do. Well, that's a wicked man, see. He has no moral, no sense. He don't want to be right. He just wants to find something wrong with you. Well, the problem is, it don't matter what's wrong with me. I mean, it don't matter what's wrong with you. If somebody's wrong, they're wrong. You go to an unsaved man and say, you need to get saved. He said, well, I go to churches like you, but if you're not saved, going to church don't mean nothing. He said, but I go to church because I'm saved. You go to church because you don't want to be saved. You know, a lot of folks go to church because they don't want to be saved. They go to church just to soothe their conscience. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Don't mean nothing because somebody said they're church members. Hell's going to be populated with church people. That don't mean nothing. You know who fights us most in this town? We used to go out to jail, going out them old dope dealers and drunks and fornicators and murderers and some of them rapists. And you know who fights us the most? These church people. I don't care with them fellas in jail. See, people go to First Baptist if I give me a fit. And that's where it was with Jesus. Who followed Jesus the hardest? Huh? The good church people, the good religious crowd. And that's just, it will never change. I mean, just because a man or a woman goes to church don't really mean nothing this day and time. And I think saved people ought to go to church, and you ought to go to the right church. And we're going to talk about that some more this morning, so I'll get off that right now, see. But a wicked man will always justify his own way of life. I'll give you an illustration. You ever talk to somebody, I've talked to men, I've seen them go out and buy beer. Well, I may buy, drink a few beers, my family don't go lacking. Well, he's a liar. He just lacked when he took something from them. He's going to justify what he's doing. That's the way to do it. You talk to a man, my wife used to babysit for a certain lady. She come to the house and once she said, here's my baby, he ain't got no milk. But she had a new pack of cigarettes. Would have bought that baby a quart of milk. See, she's wicked. And she'll justify that thing. That's the way wicked people, they'll always justify their lifestyle. And that's easy to tell them, you know. Now, if you get on to them and they want to do right, they'll listen to you and maybe make some changes. But most time, those kind of people won't. All right, let's go back to the book here. Get off the subject a little bit here. Verse 8. So approve not a scorner lest he hate thee. Okay? You want to be hated? Here's how to do it. You approve not a scorner lest he hate thee. In contrast, rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. See? You know why? Because a wise man fears God. See? And a man that don't fear God is not wise. If you go up to somebody saved and read the Bible and you give them some biblical instruction or something, they'll listen to you. You don't believe it? Try it. But you take somebody, reprove not a scorner lest he'll hate you. Somebody, if you try to give them Bible instruction about the lie, they'll hate you for it. They'll turn on you. Okay? And anybody that opposes the Bible will turn against you for telling them what the Bible says. Okay. Two illustrations in the Bible. John the Baptist. He reproved a scorner, Herod. And what happened to him? He got lost his head. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, he reproved that religious crowd, and what did they do to him? They stoned him. They killed him. And you'll find that to be just as true today as it was then. You reprove somebody with Bible wisdom, and if they're not wise enough to listen to you, they'll turn on you. You know, that's why I said every Christian will make a lot of enemies. If you're a good, saved, Bible-believing Christian, you'll make some real good enemies in this world. Like I promise you will. You say, I never made no enemies. Well, then you never done anything for God either. You never stood for God. You never rebuked nobody. Because I promise you will, see. Now, notice a wise man, if you rebuke him, he knows you're trying to help him. And when you reprove him, you need the wisdom to know how to do it. Okay? And you have to learn how to, enough wisdom, know how and when to deal with these people on the ground you deal with them. When I first went over here, this started going to jail. I had several of them fellas there, and they had NIV Bibles and New American Standard Bibles and all kind of different translations of the Bible. And I set them down. I said, "Now, do you want to know the truth, or do you want to lie?" They said, "We want to know the truth." I said, "Open your Bible." I began to show them the scripture. I said, "See what that says." And four or five of them throwed them things away and got them a Bible. Now, they were wise. Some of them got mad and didn't want to hear it. One man got up one morning, walked off, and cussed me. That's all right. That's what the Bible said, they'll do it, you know. But if you can get 10 together and help one, you've accomplished something. Okay. Okay, verse 8 said, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee." Verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser." Well, how about that? I mean, a wise man can be taught something, and a wise man can learn something and be wiser than he was before. Well, that's what I said. When you come to a place you can't learn nothing, you finished. See? "Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Now, a just man, of course, in the Old Testament, was a man that was right, but in the New Testament, a just man's a saved man. Okay? And so if you are a saved man, will increase in learning. Okay? Now, go back to chapter 1. Let me show you something here. We discussed this verse earlier, but let's look at something here. Proverbs chapter 1, just flip back a few pages on page 672, and let's look at something here. Proverbs 1 and verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning." Okay? Now, that'll tell you what kind of person you are. Are you wise? Or do you listen and try to increase your learning and the knowledge of the Bible and God? Do you try that? If you do, you're a wise person. You say, "I ain't interested." Well, the Bible said, tells you something about it too. You know, like B.R. Lakin one time, man told me, he's trying to tell the man said, "I don't believe in God." B.R. Lakin said, "Yeah, I know about you. I read about you in the Bible this morning." He said, "You did what it says." He said, "The Bible says, the fool said in his heart there's no God." See? So if you don't want the Bible, you're in here too. Let's read it. Verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay? When somebody disregards the Bible, don't want to hear it, you're talking to a fool. I mean, that's it. Plain, clear, and simple. No mistranslation. Well, you interpret that different from I do. Well, you just ain't got no sense to know what it says. You know, I get so sick of that. You know what? Depending on how you interpret the Bible, that's the voice of a fool, folks. And I get sick of that. Well, you know, the Bible has all kind of interpretation depending on how you interpret it, not depending on how you believe it. See? But the Bible said a wise man will increase learning. See? When I first got saved, I couldn't learn enough. I just wanted to know. And I got in there and I tried and I had a heck of a time learning, you know. And I still do, but I still try to learn something every week. I try to learn something every week, you know. But a wise man will increase learning. All right, look at verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And we've all discussed that. Job 28 and the beginning of the book, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." "And the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now, let me read that again. I want you to listen real close. Listen to the way that thing is read. "The knowledge of the holy," here's what it is understanding. Now, listen, now watch this real close. I'm going to show you something here. People that fool around with sin don't know God. You listen to me? Look at what I said. The knowledge of the holy. Notice the holy. Who is the holy? It's not said the knowledge of being holy. The holy is God. Right? Now, if you have a knowledge, if you know God, you have understanding. What is understanding? Right? Apart from evil. And people that fool around sin, they can tell you they're saved all day long. But folks, let me tell you something. I don't believe they're saved. Because the Bible said the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If you know God, you understand you ain't going to fool around sin. Okay? And that's two words that are together. Wisdom and understanding. Those two words are in verse 10. Alright? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Basically, you got three words out there with you all the time. You got knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Knowledge is what you know in your head. Wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge. And understanding is knowing how to relate it to God. And I guarantee this morning, you can take 1,000 college graduates and you wouldn't find one could give you a definition of those three words. Try it sometime. I've dealt with them. But knowledge and wisdom understanding and wisdom are two words. And I'm going to give you five things how you obtain wisdom and understanding. Now watch your Bible. I'm going to give you five verses here. I'm going to give you five things. And they're very simple. Number one, wisdom and understanding is number one by fearing God. Okay? A man doesn't fear God, has no wisdom of God and no understanding. Okay? Number two, accepting God's invitation. Verse 5. A man has wisdom, he'll accept God's invitation. Okay? Number three is to live right and learn right. Verse 9. See? People that don't live right had never learned right. See? And if you learn right, you'll live right. If you receive it, now if you won't receive it, it's just no good to you. All right, and number four is in verse 10, that is, learn about the things of God. I mean, are you interested in knowing things about God? Does God's word interest you? Well, that's how you get wisdom and understanding. And the last thing is receive instructions from divine wisdom. Okay? Do you have instruction in your life from divine wisdom, or do you just take it as it comes and just do it your own way? The Bible said, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the book of Proverbs. It said there is a way which seemeth right unto man. I mean, everybody has a way that looks right to them, don't they? These folks this morning, you couldn't drag them in church. They got that. They tell you they're right. They give you a good excuse why they aren't here. It seemed right. But the end of what? End of the ways is the way of death. See, every way a man sees outside of God's way is just another road to hell. Somebody said, well, if you don't matter what you believe, long you're sincere, you're okay. Yeah, you can be sincere straight in hell too. Somebody said, well, if you believe it and you really believe it and that's where you live, you'll be okay. Yeah, you'll be okay in hell believing the wrong thing. See? Now, you don't believe any way you want to. You believe what God said, or you don't believe right. What did Jesus say in John 14:6? I'm one of the ways to heaven, right? No, he didn't say. He said, I am the way. The devil article, the way. That's one way, and he is the way. Anything else will send you to hell. Okay? God has made heaven a one-way street, and it's narrow. And the devil has paved the road to hell wide and broad. It's easy to travel. And you know which one you're on? The one you want. The one you choose. The one you choose. All right. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Okay? Verse 11, for by me, that is wisdom, and the fear of God, and knowledge of the Holy, understanding, see? Verse 11, for by me, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Now, we studied this, and let's make sure we get this thing right now. In the Old Testament, a man that lived right in the fear of God, God promised him multiplied days on this earth. That was one of the promises that God gave in the Old Testament when a man lived right. There are two things that God gave a man in the Old Testament if he lived right. What was it? He gave him a long life and a prosperous life. Okay? But the New Testament under grace is not that way. See, that's not the same thing. To the Christian, you're not promised no earthly length of time. You don't find nowhere in the Bible where you promised a long earthly life. Now, some do, but not necessarily, see? You promised eternal life in the heavens, see? And that's what you got, which is better. Would you rather have 90 years here or eternity in forever? You know what I mean? That's better. So, but in the Old Testament, that was one of the promises of God. If a man lived right, he was promised a long life and prosperity. That's why when that rich young ruler came to Jesus and the disciples said he had to have been living right, he wouldn't have been rich. And Jesus told him he couldn't be saved. Well, they said, well, who can be saved? If the rich man ain't saved, who is saved? See, because under the law, that man was a just man. It ain't that way today, because there's some people that save it just as dirt poor as ain't be. Of course, there's some folks that are saved that's doing pretty good too, see, but salvation under grace don't promise a long life on this earth, see? I mean, a lot of saved people have had short lives on this earth. A lot of them. Okay? All right, let's get to verse 12. Here's a conditional verse. Okay? And it says, if. Now, what is if? That's got a condition to it. You need to pay attention to those kind of words. You need to pay attention to if and as, those kind of words in the Bible, because they're going to tell you something. You can learn something here. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. Okay? Now here's what that's a simple verse, and here's what it means. It simply means this. You'll live what you choose to be. Okay? You'll live what you choose to be. But it's better for you to be wise than to be a scorner. Okay? If you're a scorner, you'll bear the results of that life. And if you stay that way, you'll die and go to hell. See? In other words, what the Bible is saying here is this. You make a choice of your life. If you want to live in this world and be a wise man, you make that choice. If you want to be a scorner and end up in hell, you make the choice. It's very simple. That verse is very simple. There's no misunderstanding that verse there, see? And so the choice that you ought to make is this, is fear God, be wise, fear God, get right instruction, learn right, get to know God, understand, love God, hate sin, give more of yourself to God than anybody else. That's the way, that's the right instruction to live right. Because it says, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. Okay. Who benefits the most when you're wise? Well, you do. Who's it going to cost if you're not wise? It's going to cost you. See? So what do you want to be? What do you want? Okay, verse 13, never, a lot of times, not a good verse, it's not too good here. A foolish woman is glamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. That word glamorous means loud, all mouth, you know. You ever met her? Huh? I think it's one down in Lakeport. Right, Hootie? A foolish woman is glamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Now, we've talked about this woman all the way from chapter 5 on over, but spiritually, that's talking about religion. See? Religion. All religion just make a lot of noise and don't know nothing. See? A good example of that is the charismatic. They make a lot of noise and don't know nothing. Okay? And this woman here, she doesn't roam the streets as the harlot back in chapter 7. She sits down comfortably in her house, you know, probably home sitting out there in her shorts, you know, like a lot of them do, you know. And she just stands, sits there and waits for visitors to come by and ask them to come in and stay a while. Okay? Now, there's three things about this woman we need to look at. Number one, she's loud, and she's simple. She has no wisdom, and she knows nothing. Okay? Now, verse 14 tells where she is. Where do you find her? For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. Now let me tell you what I see here. What I see in verse 13, verse 14, I see these women that are involved in politics trying to run for public office. See, that's a good picture of them. Glamorous, a lot of big mouth, simple, don't know nothing. If they knew anything, they'd be home where they ought to be. See? Now, verse 14 tells, verse 13 tells you where she is. In verse 14, 14 tells you where she is, and verse 15 tells you what she's there for. Okay? To call passengers who go right on their ways. She's there to call people away from the right way. Isn't that what religions are for? They're there to call you away from the right way. They want to give you a lying Bible, lie to you about salvation, lie to you about living right. See, that's what they're there for. And verse 16, now watch this. Whoso is simple, notice who follows her. She's simple. Up there in verse 13, she's simple. And so she's waiting for somebody simple to come by. A wise man would have better sense. See? Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. See? You know the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. See? You'll flock with your own kind. Bible believers go to Bible-believing churches. Bible perverters go to Bible-perverting churches. Saved people love to gather with saved people, and unsaved people like to gather with unsaved people. That's very simple. No problem there. Okay? She's simple, so she has to wait on somebody simple, see? Somebody simple to take up with her, see? Somebody in her same class, see? That knows nothing. Okay? Whoso is simple, let him turn hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him. She said this to him. Stolen waters are sweet. Well, see, she's a liar. See? She's a liar. Stolen waters are not sweet. They're poison. See? But remember, she knows nothing. She's all talk. She knows nothing. She's glamorous. She's simple. She knows nothing, but she's a liar. She, you know, somebody said one time, they said, you know, sin is pleasure. But sin is not pleasure, folks. Sin is damnation. The Bible says Hebrews 11, Moses chose to suffer the affliction of God's people rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is short-lived. You listen? The young people need to listen to that. You know, sin will destroy you. You can't, the illustration is you can't put your hand in fire and not get burned. You can't fool around sin and not get hurt. There's no way, it's impossible. Okay? Now, she says this, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasure. See? But she's a liar. Notice that the sin is always in contrast to righteousness. Never agree. Never go together. All right, now, I'm going to try to finish this up. Look at verse 18. But he knoweth not. See, he's simple like her, and he don't know nothing like her. If he was wise and knew anything, he would have nothing to do with her. Okay? But he knoweth not that the dead are there. Huh? Don't you know this morning, if I went over here to this church and they believe what they say, don't I know they're all unsaved? I know where they are. I know where the unsaved people are. Don't you know where they are? Now listen, he knoweth that the dead are there, and that her guest, the one that she calls in and invites to stay a while, are in the depths of hell. Okay? He knoweth not. He's like her. He's simple. He has no understanding. And this is the way unsaved people live. And the way they think.